in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here.
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world's changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, you had better wake them up. Get them up, get them going. Friday on B&E. That is right, we are counting down the days and inching closer and closer to the college football season, high school football season, and pro football season. There was a preseason game last night, but that was dreadful. We'll get into the Thursday action, looking back, but also looking forward to a busy weekend. There's a lot to come. Big scrimmage for the Longhorns tomorrow. All-important scrimmage tomorrow for the Longhorns. We'll tell you why it is so important when they strap it on tomorrow over at DKR. We also have plenty of baseball to get into, some basketball, and the rest of your sports Friday here on B&E. Bucky again out this morning as he takes the weekend. Of course, as we said, doctor's orders. He'll be back Monday, but Johnny Rogers, one of the anchors and hosts of our Saturday morning live and local lineup, is with us from the Big Ugly Tailgate. Also, man about town.
Morning.
In Austin, Texas. Hey, JR, how are you?
Doing well. Had a good meal at Uchi last night.
Ooh, you are a high roller.
It was fantastic. Hit that happy hour about 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
So you can get in, get a table. Man, it is the happy hour menu, the discounts you get for that happy hour.
Uchi.
I think it's probably top five in Austin.
It is consistently ranked as a top restaurant in the capital city. Zay Collier, did you go to Uchi last night, get some sushi? Did you get
I wish I didn't get the invite, but it's all good.
Well, we were celebrating our buddy Ben Buckman's birthday. So happy birthday to Ben from last week. And, it was a good time.
Yeah. Well, Longhorn fans remember Brad Buckman, who played basketball at Texas, that part of that Buckman family.
Well, and their dad, Brent Buckman, who was on the national championship team back in the day with Ben Crenshaw and those guys.
Yeah, golfer.
Yeah.
Golfer, yeah, absolutely. So Buckman name known pretty well by Longhorn fans.
No doubt.
And happy birthday to Ben. So, yeah, that's a nice. I did not have dinner at Uchi last night. Did have some dinner. It did get wet, too. It poured down rain. Holy cow, did you get soaked? We told you it was coming. Now, all you people say I was going to jinx the rain. I don't think I jinxed it. That was a good haymaker that rolled through here yesterday afternoon. I was actually heading out about 2 o'clock, and I was going to go up north. I was going to run in a quick errand. But I looked at the cloud. I'm like, I'm not driving into that.
Yeah.
I turned around. I went back south and said, I'll just wait for that to roll in. I'm not going to go driving into that deal. But it poured yesterday. So a couple inches of rain. And what did it say? Camp Mabry is where they do all the measurements for rain and weather. And yesterday's significant rainfall broke a 51-day drought. 51 days without
That's
any
nuts.
Significant rainfall. Obviously, nearly 6 weeks. And that will continue. There's rain in the forecast today, and as we said, dissipates into the weekend. But, man, here it comes next week with a good chance for several rounds of soaking rain, which we can absolutely use here in Central Texas. So,
well, I'm currently scheduled to play golf on Saturday morning out at the UT golf course. I do not know if that's going to happen.
I think you're probably pretty good. Because, the golf course is going to soak up all that rain.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be
that rain's already gone.
It's already soaked in.
Soaking in.
Sucking it in there. But yeah, so we'll ask the crude question this morning. How many inches did you get last night or yesterday? That would be a question that we can ask to start your Friday. Johnny Rogers is here with the buck out until Monday. We will say good morning to the men and women at Fort Hood, Texas. All our military installations throughout the great state, around the country, and around the world who do what they do so we can do what we do, which is talk sports and talk with you here on the Show of the People. Also our first responders and all those that rush in when everyone else is running away. And it's going to be a fun Friday. A lot to get into. Did you watch any of that Seattle, Chicago, dreadful Thursday night football game last night?
Not a second.
Yeah, good for you. It was just on,
right.
And it's football.
Did Justin Fields get in and play at all?
All I saw was Seattle on offense, and
gotcha.
It was Geno Smith, and it was awful. It was awful. Think about this. This is like trying to decide between venereal diseases or something. They're picking between Geno Smith and Drew Locke to be the starting quarterback. Now, apologies to Mr. and Mrs. Locke and Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but they're just not very good quarterbacks.
No.
Pretty clear that the Seattle Seahawks, even with Pete Carroll at the helm, are planning to be really bad this year. They're not telling their fans that, but their lack of aggression on a quarterback this offseason would tell you they're looking to the draft next season.
How are they not going after a quarterback? I mean, there's a couple guys out there right now that you could probably pick off. Garoppolo's out there.
I think they're looking bigger picture.
Who's the Baker's backup? Darnold.
Sam Darnold.
Yeah, he's not doing anything right now. So
played at USC. Of course, Pete Carroll, little connection there.
Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, I think that's what we talk about. I mean, I think their actions speak louder than anything they say. I mean, you can't tell your fans you're trying to lose, but big picture would be, there's a kid like C.J. Stroud in the draft next year that if you have a high enough draft pick, that could be your quarterback of the future.
No doubt.
You signaled where you're headed in Seattle when you traded Russell Wilson to Denver and let your best defensive player, Bobby Wagner, go. He's now a Ram. You're in a rebuild, and you're going to go with the choices of quarterback that you're looking at last night. They were at home. They played the Bears, and I think no one is expecting the Bears to be very good this year. With their first-year head coach, Matt Eberflus, and Justin Fields as a quarterback and what they're going to be. But they were dominating. I mean, the Seahawks scored a touchdown late in the game. I mean, it was 27-3.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just bad. And that was a home game for Seattle. Bad performance all the way around. But that starts a busy weekend of preseason football. Mm-hmm. This is only year two of the three-game preseason format. So at what point do the coaches roll the dice and try to see their starters play into the half, play a quarter and a half, really get some significant time? Or are more teams going to adopt what the LA Rams did last year and not play a down with their starters in the preseason? And just, of course, they went on to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
do you need to get these guys on the field becomes the question. I do know this with the Dallas Cowboys. They're going to play the LA Chargers tomorrow night after 2 weeks or 2 days of joint practices, and man, they don't have any receivers. And we knew going in, CeeDee Lamb won't play in the preseason game. Yeah. He's got a foot injury, cut his foot, got some stitches in his foot. Also, Noah Brown was hurt over out there. I mean, they're going out with no names at the wide receiver position.
When you're going up against a strong defense like the Chargers, you're going to get some injuries.
Yeah. Well, no, they were. Landry, CD hurt his foot joking around and horsing.
They probably
around.
Saw Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa on the other side of the ball and just all of a sudden got hurt.
Oh yeah, that's right. One of your brothers works for the LA Chargers.
That's right, Jay.
Is he the D line coach?
Yeah, Jay's D line coach.
D line. He's got a good D line.
Great D line
with the LA Chargers. Your brother Jay. Obviously, as we've told you, Johnny's brother Jeff is the assistant head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, who will play the Baltimore Ravens this weekend. Baltimore Ravens. And Johnny, I am a time or two a gambling man. A gambling man. And
are you doing preseason?
Shh. Don't tell anyone. Bucky and I have had this debate. The Baltimore Ravens have won 21 consecutive preseason games.
That's a different story.
Yes.
If you're playing the Ravens,
I'm
it's a different
riding
story.
The wave.
Okay.
I'm riding the wave.
That's fine.
I mean, I'm looking for trends. Any gambler's looking for trends, strong ones at that. Yeah, I'm in. I'm in on the Ravens. Ravens, and even against your brothers, Arizona Cardinals in Arizona, there's something about this John Harbaugh guy.
And if they lose, we know the reason, because you decided you were finally going to jump on the train.
I jumped on the first one, and it came. They beat
last week.
Oh, they beat Tennessee.
Yeah.
Beat Tennessee, man. Cha-ching. Rack it up, and I'm riding it. I'm riding it. 21 in a row for the Baltimore.
Getting on a
Ravens.
Hot streak preseason, huh?
You can't tell much from the preseason, but you can. I mean, it's like death and taxes. The Baltimore Ravens win in the preseason.
No doubt.
Also, if you want to flip that around, Mike McCarthy's never won a preseason game as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Ofer.
Interesting.
Ofer. So you might want to ride the Charger train.
Okay.
Maybe I'll do the daily double.
Let's go. Let's
the
parlay it up.
Two-game parlay. Stick them together.
Parlay party.
All right. So where we go. Okay, let's get to the headlines, the trending topics, things you need to know as you start your busy weekend and your busy Friday morning. UBO Business Services brings it to you. And yeah, we'll start with Texas football. The Longhorns back on the practice field yesterday following a day off Wednesday. Team will go into a lighter workout mode today ahead of tomorrow's all-important full squad scrimmage. It is important. Texas expected to begin game prep and install for their season opener against Louisiana Monroe early next week. So tomorrow's game-like atmosphere and competition will go a long way to finalizing that depth chart. Who gets the first team reps come next week on both sides of the ball as they prepare for the season now, turning out of camp mode and into prep mode. As for the quarterbacks, after practice yesterday, head coach Steve Sarkisian did confirm that he has a pretty good idea who he is planning to name as his starter, but wants to let the competition play out.
I think I have a pretty good idea, but, I want to give these guys an opportunity to compete, so that's what we'll do.
That's what we'll do tomorrow. A quarterback decision was made in Lincoln, Nebraska yesterday. Not surprising, but Nebraska head coach Scott Frost announced that his former Texas quarterback, Casey Thompson, will be the starter for the Cornhuskers when they open their season a week from tomorrow, August 27th, against the Northwestern. That game played in Dublin, Ireland. Big news from the NFL yesterday. Official word from the Cleveland Browns that quarterback Deshaun Watson and the league have agreed on an 11-game suspension that puts an end to the appeal of the original suspension of 6 games handed down by the league's arbitrator earlier this month. Watson will also pay a $5 million fine and must undergo counseling. Watson will be eligible to return this season, and he'll do so, if they're ready for him, to face his former team, the Houston Texans, on December 4th. NFL preseason week 2 opened last night. We mentioned it, 27-11. The Bears over the Seahawks. 3 more preseason games tonight, including the Texans. They're in L.A. to face the Rams. Cowboys will follow the Texans into SoFi Stadium tomorrow night when they face the L.A. Chargers. Cowboys and Chargers wrapped up 2 days of joint practices yesterday. Baseball. How about the Houston Astros? They played 3 straight pitchers' duels with the White Sox over the week and then wrapped up the 4-game series yesterday, and Houston pulled out the big bats. Alex Bregman belted 2 home runs, had a pair of doubles, drove in 6, part of a 25-hit day for the Astros. They clobber the White Sox 21-5. Houston now heads to Atlanta for a fun series this weekend. World Series rematch with the Braves, game 1 tonight. Also yesterday, Rangers clubbed the A's 10-2 in Arlington. Round Rock fell to El Paso 2-1 at the Dell Diamond. They'll play again tonight on a Bud Light Fireworks Friday. And in golf, Keegan Bradley fired an opening round 64. He is your leader after the first round of the BMW Championship in Wilmington, Delaware. Bradley up 1 stroke ahead of Adam Scott, 2 on Shane Lowry and Tyrell Hatton.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, Johnny Rogers, so we've got big football tomorrow. I mean, I mentioned in the headlines, but safe to say tomorrow is a really, really important scrimmage. I mean, you don't have preseason games in college football, so these scrimmages are as game-like as they can be. Intense, they're looking to create an atmosphere, play fast, full contact all the way in, and, you know, it's time to separate, you know.
Once starters from the non-starters.
Yeah, starters from non-starters. Once you get to next week, the best players are gonna get the reps. I mean, you got to get them ready because you can speak to this from the coaching perspective, Johnny. I mean, you go from camp mode where it's a lot about reps and training and working on details, install, and that flips to, hey, we're getting ready for a game.
It's go time.
We're getting ready for opponent.
No doubt.
And you would imagine with Louisiana Monroe as the first game and then Alabama as the second, you've got 2 weeks now starting next week. I mean, you may see them install for Louisiana Monroe, but then also start to work on Alabama a little bit just because you have the extra time and really start focusing on that game because, do you have enough practices to get ready for that ball game?
Probably not, but you got to make sure you win the first game, handle your business, and then get yourself ready to go for Alabama.
But you do want to pivot and let the best players, whoever, are your ones.
Yeah.
Now you're starting to give them 60, 70, 80% of the first team reps, and backups get less. And that's just the way that goes. Will it be Quinn yours? Will it be Hudson Card becomes the question. Our friend Chip Brown over at Horns 24/7 had a story that dropped overnight that, the way he wrote it after talking to folks yesterday, because Sark spoke, met with the media and then, talking with folks, that if there were a game tomorrow, that Hudson Card would likely be the starting quarterback. But that it's not tomorrow, and that there's still 2 more weeks, and they still feel like Quinn Ewers has a chance. And that's where you hear Sark saying, I have an idea, but I want to see it play out. We'll see. Where are you on which quarterback will run out there against Louisiana? They'll both play against Louisiana Monroe. I think we can both say that safe. But I do think whoever goes out there first and whoever starts getting the most first-team reps next week, you could say is on his way to being the starting quarterback.
Yeah, you've got an offense that Sark runs that's a legit NFL-style offense. There's a lot of moving parts to this offense, lots of different reads, lots of coverages. And basically what you've got is you've got 2 guys that really haven't been in the offense that long. Card, yes, he's been in the offense a little bit longer, 1 more year than Ewers has. And so, yeah, I get what he's saying, that if it happened today, Card probably has a better assessment and a handle of the offense at this point. But I believe the reason they're kind of keeping it a competition is because you got 2 more weeks. Ewers is going to step in. He'll feel a little bit more comfortable with the offense. And Ewers is a guy that can make the hard throws, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think, it comes down to what they're looking for here. I mean, we talked, you want to win ball games. Mm-hmm. You need to win football games. But at the same time, you know, do you go if you have a freshman? Because again, he's a redshirt freshman, but he's a first year player. You know, Quinn Ewers. I mean, he spent 3 months at Ohio State last fall. But as we've told you, think about this for Quinn Ewers. I know we get a lot of argument from folks on the text line and other places that, you know, he was running fourth on the depth chart in Columbus last year. Yep. Listen, if you go back to the timeline of Quinn Ewers, he didn't get to Columbus until this time of camp.
Late.
Like, he decided to opt out of his high school senior season in middle to late August, and he rolled into camp for the, you know, he wasn't with Ohio State all offseason, all summer.
Yeah.
You know, he walked in there with about 10 days to go in their training camp. And as we just said, at 10 days to go in training camp, you're getting ready for your first game at that point.
You're trying to understand formations
you're
at
not,
that
point. You're not winning starting jobs at that point. You've already decided if you're Ryan Day. And then when he first got to Columbus last year, Quinn Ewers, he got sick. He got COVID. And so, you know, his
can't
whole
be,
month
can't
of
even be around anybody at that point. You got a playbook in front of you, and that's the only thing that you can do.
Right, and you know this very well. I mean, most people understand it. Once you get into the season, I mean, it's week-to-week game where you're not, you know, you're not competing for starting jobs and trying to get reps. Essentially, Quinn Ewers got there, got sick, got healthy, and then ran the scout team all last year. So it was really an internship at the quarterback position. Not a lot of live reps, not a lot of competition. And that is, you know, then the season ended. C.J. Stroud had an unbelievable year. They won the Rose Bowl. And, you know, C.J. Stroud is coming back this year as a Heisman Trophy favorite and maybe the best quarterback in all of college football. So Quinn Ewers jumped into the transfer portal and transferred back to Texas, where he had originally committed to Tom Herman, but then, of course, decommitted because he soured on his relationship with the previous head coach and that staff. Steve Sarkisian was in, and, you know, he jumps in here. So, but point being, I still consider him as close to a freshman as you can be.
No doubt.
I mean, and he's a freshman quarterback. And if you go back to the year 2000 at Alabama, Steve Sarkisian had a decision to make between Mac Jones. Mac Jones was a third-year player in the system, kind of waited his turn behind Tua Tagovailoa, if you remember. And he had a kid named Bryce Young. And Bryce Young was a five-star freshman, came in from California, who a lot of Alabama fans thought was going to win the job because of his ceiling, where he could take the program. And this was Alabama, and they were in a different circumstance than Texas. In the end, it went all the way down to the final week of the camp, and Mac Jones won the starting job in 2020, and they went on to win the national championship.
And by the way, that wasn't a consensus that Mac Jones was going to be the dude in Alabama at that time. They were still trying to figure out which quarterback to use.
Yeah.
And a couple of the coaches wanted to go with Bryce Young over Mac.
Yeah, I'm sure there's arguments being made for the same.
Yeah.
And, you know, because Bryce Young didn't play, redshirted that year, but watched Mac Jones lead the Crimson Tide to a title and have an unbelievably great offense.
Worked out great.
And he redshirted, came in last year, and won the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
And now he comes back this year as a guy trying to go back-to-back.
But Texas doesn't have that Mac Jones guy already there.
Right. Well, that will be the question. Has Hudson Card progressed enough to where he can be that? Because, you know, Mac Jones played his way into a first-round draft pick with the New England Patriots, and we'll see. Hudson Card, you know, third year in the program, second year in the system. Does his familiarity with the system, as you said, it's a very complex pro-style offense that Quinn Ewers has been trying to learn since he got here in January. You know, but in game rep time, who's more comfortable with it? What we know about Quinn Ewers, he can make all the throws. He doesn't mind. Zay and I and Bucky talk about throwing them bombs all the time. The one thing you hear about Quinn is he's not afraid to let her
Drops
go.
Bombs,
he will throw the deep ball. Mm-hmm. He likes the deep ball. But also, when the play breaks down, that's when problems arise for Quinn Ewers in these live scrimmages.
Right.
Whereas Hudson Card's a little more adept at you know the drop off pass, the get rid of the football drill, take off and run if you need to avoid a sack. And that goes back to last Saturday, where the reports were Quinn Ewers had some interceptions. When the play broke down, he took three or four sacks. When the play broke down,
and can't take sacks in this offense.
Right,
can't
and
do it.
Negative plays and turnovers are going to be huge. So again, there's still a strong chance that Hudson Card is the starter if we're going to borrow the Mac Jones versus Bryce Young comparison from Steve Sarkisian a couple years ago. But I think it's fair to say if tomorrow's big for Quinn Ewers. If Quinn Ewers needs to be better tomorrow than he was last Saturday. Our friend Bobby Burton over at Inside Texas had a story early in the week that after the bad performance in last week's scrimmage, that Quinn Ewers was coming in an hour early or so with AJ Milwee outside of the normal camp, staying late, trying to figure out where he's
what you want to see.
Making mistakes and things of that nature. So a lot of reporting out there. We're not sure, but Sark says he has a pretty good feel of where this is going, which, you know, you can draw your own conclusion on that. That could lead you right to Hudson Card. That could lead you right to Quinn Ewers at this point.
Good for Hudson Card because he stayed in it. He stayed at UT. He had every opportunity to do exactly what Casey Thompson do and say, hey, oh, we got Quinn Ewers coming in. They don't want me anymore. I'm out.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
And the easy thing for somebody, for these kids to do is transfer. So good on Hudson Card, and not only good for him staying, but he's out there competing for this job. So don't sleep on Hudson Card at all.
Well, and I know we'll hear this on the text line here that if Hudson is named starting quarterback, because I said earlier, orangebloods.com, Jeff Ketchum and the team over there, they have a report in their war room, which they drop on Thursday nights into Friday, that according to their sources, that he's leaning towards Hudson Card as the starting quarterback, so which would surprise a lot of people, and we'll get the texters that'll say, well, he's going to go jump in the portal. Remember this when Quinn Ewers. At this point, Quinn Ewers, if he decided to transfer, if he doesn't win the starting job, would have to sit out a year.
Full year.
Remember, he's already used his one-time transfer.
Correct.
Without a penalty. Transferring from Columbus to Austin is his one-time transfer, and there was a proposal this offseason to give players unlimited transfers without penalty, but that was tabled. There was some thought, and because the coaches were like, whoa. I mean, one is enough. That is the freedom these players deserve. But so for Quinn Ewers, if he doesn't win the starting job, if he doesn't earn the starting job, I think would be the way to put it. You know, could he sour? Maybe. I don't think so. I think
that would be really. I mean, for him to transfer after not getting the starting job in the first game, at that point, it's like you don't even want that kind of kid on your team.
You're right.
If he's going to quit like that.
Agreed. So we'll follow that story and obviously have the reporting based on tomorrow. We're going to talk to Brian Davis of the Austin American Statesman next hour.
Oh,
BD will jump in and jump on his thoughts on what he's hearing from the 40 and down there at practice yesterday. And I think it's fair to say tomorrow, pretty darn important to not just the quarterback position, but a lot of positions. Hey, this says, have we talked about Bijan Mustardson yet? Yeah, well, you know.
Bijan.
Well, you showed me that picture yesterday, so we actually broke the story first, I believe, yesterday on this show in our 9 o'clock hour that Bijan Robinson, now it's not been officially announced by Team Bijan.
Yeah, it's starting to get out there, though. Saw a couple of Instagram tags and
so apparently there is a...
Bijan posted on his Instagram.
He did, finally? Yeah. Okay, good, because that got out.
Yeah, and we probably ruined the story, E. We probably broke the story and ruined it for the big announcement, but no.
The big reveal, they call it. The big reveal.
No, but, I mean, think about how creative is that?
Well, apparently there's a company in town because of the bottling of Bijan Mustardson.
Yeah.
It's an NIL deal with Bijan Robinson for Dijon Mustard.
Brilliant.
And at the bottom of the label, it says made in Austin, Texas. So, obviously, it's a local company that's making their own brand of Dijon mustard and wanted Bijan to be the brand ambassador.
Yeah, that kid is, I mean, he is, you want to talk about business savvy.
Well, and you revealed to me that you know he has an aunt that lives here.
Yeah.
Who's kind of his mentor that moved here when he came in to kind of like a big sister kind of deal.
And they're close in age and really good friends, and she's kind of taken over as his kind of business brand manager. So they're about to do a merch drop coming up in a couple of weeks. Bijan has that merch company that he works with up in Dallas called Center. Same, they do this a lot of the stuff with Ezekiel Elliott, Nick Sunderman, and that crew up there. It's one of those shoe stores where they kind of creatively redo shoes. You know what I'm talking about? They take like a normal pair of Nikes and then they put their own spin on it. Huh. You know what I'm talking about? Like a lot of shoe heads.
Basically like creating the brand new shoe with kind of graffiti, but different color schemes to make them different colorways and make them look cooler than what they originally did, which they originally should be hung on the wire, but they turn them out.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, Center's one of those guys, and they've partnered up with Bijan for his apparel and merch drop. So that'll be coming down the road. But yeah, he has really learned the NIL game well, and he's dictating the way that people, exactly what you wanted to happen. These guys are now in control of their name, their image, and their likeness.
Right.
And they get to pick who gets to be with them.
Yeah.
And it's great.
By the way, ESPN has come out with their ranking of the top players in all of college football.
Mm-hmm.
One to whatever. I don't think it's 100. But we'll let you know where Bijan Robinson falls on that list. It's pretty impressive. We'll have that for you coming up. Also, our first glimpse and spotlight on the number 6 team in our Horn Top 20 countdown. We're going west again, to wrap up the week. Of course, next week we'll be into the top five, but number six coming next. Also, where Bijan ranks on that list of the best football players in all of college football coming next.
Several things we're looking at here this morning. Number one, of course, we've got the move-in day at the University of Texas.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Friday on the Horn, B&E with you into your weekend. Johnny Rogers.
Hey-o.
Hanging with us. He was at Uchi last night. Uchi.
You ever
run into anybody famous there? You ever run into any? Not that you're not famous, Johnny, but like real famous people?
Not last night? No.
Well, you're there at the early, like, 5 o'clock thing.
Early 5. I'm sure all the high rollers were coming in around 8 when we were leaving.
Valet and, you know, reservations and all that kind of stuff. Special tables in the corner.
Get some Demon Slayer.
So you went early, and do you sit at the bar there, or do you just...
No, we had a table.
Had a table.
Yeah, we had waitress and everything.
Uchi.
A little Hot Rock action.
Ooh.
Got that going. Did some Demon Slayer sake, the old walkie-talkie.
Waka-taki, Demon Slayer. So explain the Hot Rock. Zay, you ever had the Hot Rock?
No, I never had that.
Go ahead, explain.
Well, they bring out a stone that has been in a fire for a while.
So it's a hot rock.
So it's literally a hot rock, and then they bring you some pieces of meat, some steak. You take your chopsticks, pick up the piece of meat, put it on the rock, and cook it yourself.
Oh, that sounds fire.
Yeah, literally. Man. Sounds tasty.
It is fantastic. You know, good press. It's like, you know, when fajitas come in and everybody's like, oh, look at all the smoke.
Yesterday was National Fajita Day.
Why didn't I order that? Well, we had some jealous eyes looking at us when we busted out the Hot Rock.
I'm trying to think where I had the Hot Rock once. Might have been over at Eddie V's one time.
Okay.
Maybe Eddie V's had that.
Eddie V's doesn't do a lot of Hot Rock.
I'm trying to think. I've been a part of that one time, and I don't remember where that was.
They did it. They used to have Kenichi. There's an old school sushi spot, Kenichi, that was down. It was like the original downtown sushi joint.
Before we get into our Horn Top 20 countdown, we mentioned that the folks over at ESPN have put out their top 100 college football players for the 2022 season as ranked by their college football staff, 1 to 100. Number one on the list.
I'm saying Bryce?
Nope.
C.J. Stroud?
Nope.
Bijan?
Nope. Alabama defensive end and then pass rusher Will Anderson, the junior. It says last season's Bronco Nagurski Trophy winner could be next year's number one overall draft pick. The former freshman of the year emerged as one of the best players in college football as a sophomore. Led the country in sacks, 17.5, tackles for loss, 34.5.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
And that's where the Longhorns will face on week two and could have a freshman left tackle against the best player in all of college football, according to ESPN. Mm-hmm. Number two on the list, Bryce Young.
Deservedly so.
So
they got the best defensive and offensive player in the country.
Correct.
Great.
Correct, yeah. Yeah. Which is why we've said this may be Nick Saban's best team. And Nick Saban himself, who, you know, his programs have dominated college football for the last 15 years, has said he's never had a team with two leaders like this. Like on both one, you know, tips of the spear on either side of the ball. Not only are they great players, but they're the leaders of their squads, with their work and their dedication and how they go about their business. Those are two great players. I mean, if you think about Nick Saban and the success, at the early stages, it was just kind of a total team concept, right? Mm-hmm. Total team concept. And then they've transitioned from the power run game and defense and evolved with college football, Nick Saban, to, you know, the Lane Kiffin offense, which became the Steve Sarkisian offense. And then now it's more about offense than the defense.
Right.
But this is a year where the offense and defense may sync up and be really, really good on both sides. That's scary for Texas. That's scary for the rest of college football. It's why they're the preseason number one team in the country.
No doubt.
The only hope I have is that Bill O'Brien is still the offensive coordinator, my former Houston Texans head coach. B.O.B. B.O.B.
Notorious.
No, the notorious B.O.B. Number three on the list is C.J. Stroud, quarterback, Ohio State, followed by his favorite target, Jackson Smith in Jigba, out of Rockwall, Texas, the Ohio State junior wide receiver. So, yes, Alabama has 1-2. Ohio State has 3-4. Texas,
boom,
has number five. Bijan Robinson.
The Dijon.
The Dijon.
So there's their little quick write-up on Bijan. Says Robinson has Heisman potential, running for 1,127 yards, averaging 5.8 yards per carry last season, despite Texas's offensive line issues, missed the final two games as well as last season, and suffered an elbow injury in what could be his final season in Austin. Robinson is primed for a huge year.
I'm so excited to see this kid run.
Well, who will be handing him the ball becomes the question. As we said off the top, there's multiple reports. Now Chip Brown over at Horns 24-7 says if the decision were made today, it would be Hudson Card. But there's still 2 weeks for this to play out, or at least tomorrow's scrimmage and into next week. There's a report at orangebloods.com. Jeff Ketchum and his team over there, Anwar Richardson, saying that they've been told that when Sark says he knows which way he's leaning, that's Hudson Card as the starting quarterback. So we'll follow that into the weekend, all-important scrimmage tomorrow. But in addition to the focus on Texas, we're highlighting and spotlighting the top 20 teams, in our opinion, in college football in 20 and 22, and that leads us to number 6 in our countdown.
When you put that uniform on, you better come to work.
It's the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Allstat Beer. No impurities, no regrets. Number 6. The USC Trojans.
All right, this one might be seen as controversial. Controversial as far as our ranking of the USC Trojans at 6th overall. We had a texter saying, hey guys, as a USC fan, I wish you hadn't ranked them at all. They haven't proven anything, and I believe everybody is getting it wrong with them. Well, they have some wins, yes, but they're not a top 15 team and certainly not close to the top 5. That's from an alleged USC fan. And I can see that. And we said this at the beginning. If you go back to when we met at Cover 3, late July, to put together and really finalize our Horn Top 20 countdown, all the Horn staff, we got together, we did a live online digital broadcast, and we talked about it. And one of the first things I said is, it's, you know, these preseason drills and polls are always speculative. But to me, they've never been more difficult because of the transfer portal.
Yeah.
That, you know, you're always speculating who's got the most returning starters, who's got the best players, who's, because every coach in America would tell you, I don't really know what I have in my team until we get into the fire. I don't know what we're made of until we get there. You feel good about things, and all of a sudden, man, you have a good plan until you get punched in the face kind of thing. And all coaches would tell you that. And some teams will surprise a coach, and all of a sudden, man, I didn't know we had this in us, and they do. And then some disappoint. I think that's fair to say. But with the transfer portal and the ability to fill gaps and fill holes, it's a boom or bust scenario. I mean, if all the players that USC brought in for Lincoln Riley and the coaching staff, they all pan out, they're the most talented team in the Pac-12, period.
It, no doubt.
But if they don't gel and it doesn't come together, then yes, we had a team like Utah just the other day on Wednesday at number 7 or 8 in our countdown, and they're the team in the Pac-12 that won it last year. They have the returning starters, 8 on offense, 7 on defense. Mm-hmm. They've got the longest tenured head coach in the conference. They've got the continuity and stability. So certainly on in normal terms, Utah should be the favorite in the Pac-12. But we have USC based on talent and Lincoln Riley.
And probably a little tradition in there too. You know, them being a perennial blue blood school who's always in the mix. Didn't have a great season last year. That's why Lincoln Riley got the job. But you look at the ways that this team has plugged those holes that you were talking about on offense. They bring in 6 new players. And these guys aren't from small schools. You got Jordan Addison from Pitt, Mario Williams from OU, Caleb Williams from OU. You've got the running back from Oregon, Travis Dye. You got offensive lineman from Virginia, another guy from Colorado. So these guys are getting transfers from really big-time schools. So, yeah, Lincoln may not know exactly what he's got right now in this offense, but he's got some really good pieces.
Well, and you said it. I mean, Caleb Williams was a breakout player as a freshman, took the job from Spencer Rattler last year in Oklahoma, and, of course, followed Lincoln Riley to USC. So he knows the system. That's also an advantage. As a transfer quarterback, he walks in knowing the terminologies of the system, so he can – he can teach the offense to the rest of the team, essentially, along with Lincoln Riley. And you mentioned Jordan Addison.
Yeah.
He was the Biletnikoff Award winner last year. Best receiver in the country.
The best.
And Mario Williams was the best receiver at Oklahoma last year. And so, yes, I mean, look, the offense should be dynamic at USC. I don't think there's any question about that. And they open the season with Rice on September the 3rd out in L.A. Then they have to go to Stanford and back home for Fresno State and then Oregon State. I mean, it's a pretty easy start to their season. And, you know, Stanford's always going to be a rock'em sock'em team for David Shaw.
But I just look at their first five games, their six games, and think, all right, they're going to be 6-0 when they go to Utah.
Correct.
In middle October. Now, the question for USC is defense, right? Alex Grinch, who did a nice job of coming in and taking over for Mike Stoops at defensive coordinator at Oklahoma and turning that thing and getting it going in a good direction. They were much better on defense at Oklahoma the last couple of years. Grinch is out there, but only three returning starters. And they didn't have as much success in the transfer portal on the defensive side as they did on the offensive side. The defense is going to be a big question for Lincoln Riley. And if you talk to Oklahoma fans, they would tell you it always would be a problem because Oklahoma fans got frustrated with Lincoln Riley that it was an all-offensive, no-defense team, which was good enough in the Big 12. But when they got to the heavyweight to the Final Four and bigger bowl games, it wasn't good enough.
Well, I mean, it's not like Pac-12 has got that much better competition.
Correct. And the non-con that they're going to play, their toughest non-conference game, is Notre Dame. And that's at home, and that's not until the last game of the year in late November.
Again, letting the team get some experience during the year. Like, when we talk about Texas, what's unfortunate for UT is they've got their biggest game the second game of the season. So you really don't know what you're going to have until probably midseason. So at least with USC, they've got six games that, they've got a good chance of going undefeated in those first six games. And then their real competition, Utah, week 7.
And then a
hopefully,
bye week.
And then hopefully at that point, the team is gelled.
And then a bye week. And think about this, with the new format in the U.S. in the Pac-12 we've talked about, USC could legitimately go 6-0, go to Utah and get beat, have a bye week, run the table the rest of the way, and they could be back in playing Utah for the Pac-12 championship. And that's really, look, again, go back to how we formed our top 20. It's bears repeating. My theory was, look, who's going to win the conference? And so you go to each conference and say, okay, who's going to win it? So Alabama and Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, USC, I think, is going to win the Pac-12 just by an eyelash over Utah. I think Baylor has a good chance to repeat as the Big 12 champs, and that's why we have them as the highest-ranked Big 12 team. And USC, I think, is just because of, and I'll say this because Bucky would say it if he were here, Lincoln Riley is one of the premier offensive minds and coaches in all of college football, in
no
my
question.
Opinion.
No question.
There's a reason that LSU was crawling over glass to get him to come to Baton Rouge. There's a reason USC, went after him. There's a reason that, Oklahoma fans went out and say, oh, no, we're better off with Venables. Come on. Going into last year, you felt like you had one of the top three or four coaches in all of college football, and now USC has that. And so that's a schematic advantage that he brings to the table with a quarterback he's familiar with. With plenty of players he's familiar with installing his new offense, I like USC in the Pac-12 in 20 and 22. And I do think that's good for college football to have a brand like USC back on a big stage. It's been 4-8 last year. They fired Clay Helton in September of last year. Finally, for a lot of USC fans, they got rid of Clay Helton. And they got themselves lined up to bring in Lincoln Riley. So
here's a question for you. It's pretty easy to focus when you're living in Norman, Oklahoma.
Yes.
Okay. Now you're out in L.A., the bright lights, the hills, the ocean, and everything like that. Can Lincoln Riley focus out in L.A.? I mean, the way he did it at Oklahoma, right? I mean, there's so much more.
You talk about Lincoln Riley from Mule Shoe, Texas?
Yes.
I think he'll be able to.
I mean, but again, there's so many things to do out in California.
Well, if he gets, yes, you're right.
He's probably wake surfing this morning or something like that.
Well, you can wake surf. And remember Pete Carroll, man, you can go wake surf and then still show up and
or surf. I guess
coach
there
football.
You actually do get to surf. You don't have to take a boat.
Yeah, you don't have to do a wake surf behind a boat. Yeah. You can actually surf on the waves out in California. Yeah, look, again, this is a controversial decision. They were 4-8 a year ago. They fired their coach. They only have three returning starters on defense and a bunch of brand new players. There's a lot of reasons to favor Utah. Maybe even Oregon in that conference, but I don't think the Pac-12 is very strong. I do think they're the most talented team, player for player, and I think they have the best coach now in the Pac-12. Apologies to Kyle Whittingham. I just think Lincoln Riley's a superior coach and game planner and play caller. So I'm going to go with USC. This is why we put these out there. We will look back and see how silly I looked about 4 months from now.
We'll see.
Or how prophetic we were. All right, so this says Caleb Williams can't throw the ball. Well, see, he may not be the most accurate passer in all of college football, but I think
he can physically throw the football.
And yes. He can run, and he was pretty good for them last year when he took over and helped bring them back from 18 down with 17 minutes to play to beat the Longhorns out there in the Cotton Bowl. I was there to watch it. He's a pretty good player. All right, we'll come back. And that was as a true freshman. So yep. I think the sky's the limit for that guy. But we'll take your thoughts on USC. We'll spotlight them throughout the morning, obviously, to the Texas quarterback conversation. We have not gotten into the Deshaun Watson settlement, which we told you yesterday as we were leaving would likely come down yesterday, and it did shortly after our show ended. So we'll talk to Deshaun Watson. 11 games, and what do you know, NFL? Best TV show in town. He gets to come back just in time to play the Texans in Houston.
Funny how
made
that works
for TV.
Out. Funny
made
how that
for
works
TV.
Out.
I'm assuming it went like this, and we'll get into Deshaun more in more depth. But, hey, Roger, while we're looking on this appeal, you know, we like the 12 games. We like the sound of 12-game suspension. But if we let him back a game earlier, he'll play in Houston against the Texans, and we can put that in a prime spot.
How do you think the crowd welcomes him?
Oh, it'll be vicious.
Yeah.
Don't
take your kids to that game.
We'll get into that. Coming back. B&E with you on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Stream it on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Show the people on a Friday. As this one says, hey, E, it's Fry-yay. All right, Fry-yay. I'm down with that. It says, E, Johnny, tell me this. How big a fit will the BMDs throw when Sark names Card as QB1? Well, BMDs would be big money donors. You know, that's always going to be a conversation, but at the same time, Steve Sarkisian's job is to put the best player on the field that gives his team the best chance to win. And I do think if indeed, as orangebloods.com is reporting overnight, that the lean, when you hear Steve Sarkisian say he kind of knows where it's headed, that he's leaning to Hudson Card. When he does, he's going to have to explain it a little bit. He's going to have to more than just say Hudson's our quarterback. I think there has to be some conversation about how we came to that determination. But at the same time, he's the head coach. I mean, that's you're paying him $5.5 million to do is make these decisions. And if, you know, I know when we headed to camp, I know we talked to Sark, you know, Bucky and I did at Big 12 Media Days. And even then, he said he wanted to make the decision a little bit sooner and kind of had a good feel on where it was going because he had so much time around the quarterbacks this summer. I mean, my thought was, Johnny, that the one storyline you kept hearing from the coming out of the spring through the summer workouts is that, you know, Quinn Ewers continued to take risks and turn the football over.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if that continues into camp, it's going to be hard to name him the starting quarterback. This team is not good enough on defense. They're not good enough in a lot of areas to turn the football over and be careless with the ball. We know it's a, you know, at this point as a freshman, a redshirt freshman player, Quinn Ewers is a, you know, he's got the big arm. He can throw them bombs. He tries to make the big play, but he also will make the big mistake. And that's something with all the talent at the skill positions this team has. You can't give the football away.
Well, and to be honest with you, I don't think the big money donors care. All they want is W's.
Well, that's right. I mean, and at that point, Sark would be, okay,
I mean,
okay, coach, we trust you, but you better win some games.
Who's it? Charles Wright, the third string guy from Austin High?
That's right.
I bet that. If he goes in there and they go undefeated, they don't care. Like, the big money donors just want W's. They don't care who's in there at quarterback. Obviously, Quinn Ewers would be the guy you kind of want because he's the big name. But to be honest with you, they don't give two whatever.
Well, the question is, well, look, we're funding these collectives and a lot of that money. You know, obviously, there's some deals in there for Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, he's done well.
But you got to earn it. Got to earn it. Put it in the dirt, as Coach Sark said. You got to show it. And look, you've been in enough locker rooms. Your brothers are both coaches. Your dad was a coach. You know, if you give the starting job to a player who didn't earn it, who
those guys know it.
They know
because they've been watching it the entire time.
They've been watching.
They've got eyes. They can tell who's playing well and who's not. And you can't just say, oh well, you know, one guy's our starter just because we like
him. Well, and if you're believing the practice reports, and I do think there's a lot of people doing a good job reporting on this team and covering this team, including our friend Jeff Howe over at Horns 24/7 and Chip and his team, the Orange Bloods, Inside Texas, they all do a great job. But they're all reporting that Quinn is still making some mistakes, but it's not like Hudson's like blowing the doors off.
Yeah.
So this is the rub.
And
this
Malik Murphy's just kind of sitting there in the balance. I mean, he's...
Well, the thing we've been told about Malik Murphy is that he is going through a mechanic change. Like, they're really working with him. I don't want to say he's a project, but at this point, he's so raw. I mean, if you went to the open practice, you saw Malik Murphy, number 6, and he is a big boy.
Yeah.
I mean, he is every bit of 6'6".
Correct.
He fills out the uniform, but they are working with him on his delivery. They really want to shorten it up. It's too long at this point. You know, he's playing California prep football, and... that's why I think you're seeing Charles Wright take the third team reps. I think, you know, he's further along in the offense. They're trying to get Malik Murphy right with his fundamentals.
Right.
It's not even about the playbook.
No rush with him.
No rush. But future. future. I mean, Sark has developed a lot of quarterbacks in his day, and you know, you got to get the fundamentals right first, and then you can take those next steps with a player like Malik Murphy. So people who text about him, I don't even think he's in the conversation. Or no, I know he's not.
He's not, but he's there. And they've got a guy that, you know, like you said, even if he never sees the field, he looks pretty imposing standing on the sidelines.
Well, that should excite you for the future, that maybe he can become a big part of this, get that release shortened up. He just has a big windup at this point. Yeah. He's a big kid, and, you know,
The quarterbacks at the Division I level can break on a quarterback who's got a longer
windup. Oh, yeah, the windup, right? And that's the one thing one of the things you like about Hudson Card, he's got a quick release, right? Yeah. He does. He can snap it off and make those quick throws, and we'll see. Tomorrow is big. We'll reset that coming up with the headlines, but tomorrow is a very big scrimmage, and we'll tell you why. Hey, Zay, Isaiah Collier, I hate to say it, but you know what today is? National Kool-Aid Day. It's Kool-Aid.
Thank God, Buck's not
here.
Oh,
yeah.
Where are you on the drinking of the Kool-Aid, Zach? Drinking of the Kool-Aid is Buck would ask you at this point.
With the injuries, the Kool-Aid low-key is back in the fridge.
Back in the fridge?
Yeah, so we're sitting at 8-4 still.
Okay.
We're sitting at 8-4 still, but yeah, that Kool-Aid is in the fridge. Shoot, the packet might not even be in the Kool-Aid yet with these damn injuries, so we'll see.
Yeah, listen. National Kool-Aid Day. Look, if you tell me 8-4 right now, I think that would be a big step forward.
You take 8-4 right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, especially if that means that they go into the Baylor game and they're 8-3 to end the season and they're in the mix in the Big 12. They've won 8 ball games and that fourth loss comes against Baylor, who I think is just a bad matchup for Texas right now with their lines of scrimmage and what they do on the offensive and defensive line and Dave Aranda in year 3. But at the same time, 8-4, however they get there, I think would be. It would be okay. It's not great. You're not, starting to print national championship banners the following year or anything. But 8-4 would be a step forward. It would be pretty
better than 5-7.
Better than 5-7. My hope for this Texas football team is, and Steve Sarkisian, is that they're in the conversation in late November to play in the Big 12 title game, to be there, to play important games that matter, and that Baylor game being the final one. Can that be an important ball game for them becomes a big question.
Big games.
Take your thoughts on that. Zay left the Kool-Aid in the fridge on National Kool-Aid Day. That burnt orange Kool-Aid. You know what I'm saying? We come back. We'll reset those headlines. Dive into the coach's corner. Get into that Deshaun Watson situation. And how about the haul for the Big Ten yesterday? Big Ten. Media rights mega deal, to say the least. They made it rain. Kevin Warren, the new commissioner there. Pretty new commissioner there. Getting her done. We'll tell you what that means and what it could mean for the new look Big 12. Details coming.